This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company right here on ESPN 1000 and the brand-new ESPN Chicago app. Along with Brian Hanley, Jonathan Hood, we're in for Cap. Follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood, at BrianHanley534. We turn now to Jesse Rogers, who covers baseball for ESPN. He joins us on the Corona Hotline. He's in the desert, joins us here on Cap and Company here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing back there?
Oh, you know how we're doing. You are on the line. We got Hanley. It's me. My God. We haven't been we haven't been all together since 2002.
I was about to say, what more could you ask for?
There's no question about it. So I'm just wondering, Jesse, what is... on the Cubs side of things, what is your biggest question mark that you're thinking about with Cubs baseball here in camp?
Well, big picture, it's the pitching. What about the pitching, right?
What about the pitching?
I was waiting for you to do that.
Yeah, right? But not ready.
And I alternate between sort of concern with the starting staff and the bullpen. Now, a team starts and ends with a starting staff. I don't care if it's 2020 or 1980, right? That still is the case. Look what the Nationals did, what the Dodgers have done over the years lately. I mean, it's all about starting pitching. The Cubs, on paper, have some arms, but it's thin. It is still thin. And you don't know what John Lester is exactly going to bring. You don't even know what Yu Darvish is exactly going to bring. You certainly don't know what Jose Quintana, one of the most frustrating Chicago Cub pitchers in recent memory, is going to bring. Kyle Hendricks, I think you kind of know, so that's good. But it is Tyler Chatwood's number five. So starts there. And then we move to the bullpen, which is unproven. Now already is down a lefty, Brad Wick, diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat. Luckily, he's okay. He had a procedure back in Chicago on Monday. But you weren't that didn't have a lot of depth at that position in the first place. So now Kyle Ryan has to step up. And it's not like Kyle Ryan was confused with Aroldis Chapman in terms of the lefties out of the bullpen. So you see what I'm getting at. There's some frontline players there. But if there's any problems with injuries or poor play, there's not a ton behind it. And those frontline players still have to perform, and we don't even know for sure that they can. So long story short, I'd worry about the pitching more than anything on this team.
And it's great to see that Albert Elmora Jr. is having a great start. First week, 5-7 with a double home run, 5 RBI. But when you look back when the Cubs won the World Series, it was, you know, out-clubbing teams as much as the pitching, right? If the pitching is even just middle of the road, what has to happen for that offense to generate 6, 7, 8 runs a game to cover up maybe some of the hiccups of the bullpen?
Well, you just said it. One of those guys or multiple guys like Albert Elmora Jr. have to step up. We know what's going on at the top of the order, right? Brizzo, Baez, Schwarber, that should be okay. But you don't win a championship with 5 guys or 4 guys. Right. You need 6, 7, 8 and sometimes even 9 to contribute. And I actually, if I'm going to look at the glass being half empty with the pitching staff, I'll look at it half full with the lineup because of those stars. 1 and 2, I just don't think Elmora, Bodie, Descalso, Kipnis are all going to repeat their bad years. Like the law of averages says a couple guys are going to step back up and do something positive. Elmora is off to a great start. Let's not forget Caratini, Victor Caratini, off to a great start here. And I believe in that bat from last year to this year now moving forward. So I love this catching combination. You can keep Contreras fresh and play Caratini. He can provide something from both sides of the plate. So I actually think the glass is half full with the offense. You have the stars. As long as Brian can perform at the top, which is a question mark just in general because we know leadoff is different. But I think a couple of those role players will emerge, and they can't be worse, Brian. That's the way I look at it. So I actually like the offense a little bit better than the pitching staff. But that's all on paper. It could be completely reversed once the season starts, right? We just don't know with this team. There's so many little holes and question marks that you could project one thing. It could go the other way once April comes.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs and Major League Baseball for ESPN. He joins Jonathan Hood and Brian Hanley on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Any clearer picture on the second base spot for the Cubs?
Yes and no. I mean, there's still about 5 guys taking ground balls and getting at bats there, but I don't see how Jason Kipnis isn't your opening day second baseman. Just add on top of it forget, I mean, his resume, that's good. He's healthy, that's good. But on top of it, Central Division notoriously over the last few years has been a righty-dominated division in terms of starting pitchers. That gives Kipnis the leg up on a bunch of guys. If there's going to be a platoon, he's going to get the majority of the at-bats. Bodie's right-handed. Even if Horner makes the team, he's right-handed. None of those guys are going to play every day. So Kipnis, by default, and also because of his resume and his health now, I think, and he's already looked good. I took a sidearm lefty for a base hit to right field. I thought was real, real good patience by him yesterday. So I think he still has something left in the tank. Now, will Horner make the team? I go back and forth. I tend to think no. One, service time. Why start his year? I mean, we're back to the Chris Bryant thing. You leave him down there for a month. He gets at bats. You bring him up at some point, and now you feel a little bit better about him. And also, if you're going to platoon, I mean, he won't play a lot, right? Because there's so many right-handed starters. So I think Horner probably doesn't make the team, but is up in some sort of short order. It could be May. It could be one, you know, earlier, later. I don't know. So that leaves Kipnis for the most part, and then maybe some at-bats for David Bodie at second base. You know, Descalso is sort of the odd man out. I think there's probably still a roster spot for him if Horner is down, but he's not going to get much playing time.
Is John Lackey just hanging out? It was interesting here. I know he didn't talk to you guys, but the way David Ross said it was like John wanted to be around the guys. And I thought when Lackey retired, he'd be one of these guys you never saw again. He'd take his cowboy boots and, you know, those boots were made for walking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does he want to be even a part-time part of this, a roving kind of instructor in the organization? Is he missing baseball already?
I think he needed a golf partner, and Lester was here, so
okay.
He came here. Brian, I know a lot of people wrote about it and talked. I think it's just a guy showing up for a few days to see his buddies in good weather. I mean, one of them being Lester, and obviously the other one being Ross. You know, you have to get an invite or whatever from the manager. You can't just show up, although maybe he could. I don't know. But I think it's just hanging out. I really do. I don't think he's doing a lot. Maybe a word of advice here or there, maybe busting some chops here and there. But I don't think he's doing a lot, and I would highly doubt he wants to get back into the grind in terms of being a coach. So this is just a couple days. I'm sure they have two away games the next 2 days, so plenty of time to play golf with Lester and everyone else. But obviously Ross had to okay it or invite him, and he is in uniform, so it's not like he's doing nothing, but I wouldn't read too much into it.
Jesse, it's one thing to be able to look at the core for the Cubs and admire it because there's still quality players in this roster, just a lot of holes and question marks so far. It doesn't mean it's a bad team. It's a team I think that's in the middle of the NL Central to start off with, but when you take a look at St. Louis and Milwaukee, what do you think of those two teams against what the Cubs personnel brings?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think your assessment of the Cubs is right on. You start with them in sort of the middle of the division, and they could probably go up. They probably won't go much further down than the middle unless they do a sell-off in July. I'm telling you, I've been on the air already 3, 4, 5 times about this, and I will for the next 3 months. I think July, come the trade deadline, is really interesting with this team if they're sort of caught in between. Does Theo pull some sort of a white flag, even if they're only 4 or 5 out? I mean, 5 out in July, usually you don't do a lot. You know, you don't really sell off, but this team might this year. But back to your original question, I mean, throw Cincinnati in there. I absolutely do think they're the best in the division. Now, maybe I'm going off a recency bias because of everything they did in the offseason, but I think it's real. Milwaukee, I love Craig Counsell. They overachieve seemingly now every year, right? They don't have a ton of talent the way the Cubs do, the way the Reds do. I mean, who can name anybody besides Yelich and maybe Lorenzo Cain and Josh Hader on that team, right? Yeah. I mean, even Moustakas is gone. So they seem to do it. They certainly did it with less in September last year. I just, at some point, I think Milwaukee, you know, they made the playoffs 2 years in a row. I don't see it again 3 years in a row. But who would have thought September they would beat out the Cubs for that wild card spot? So I'm never going to put something past Craig Counsell. I just don't love that team. I didn't love St. Louis last year, and I was sort of proven wrong. So I got to be wary of them for sure. But they lost Ozuna. Goldschmidt's a year older. I don't know. Fowler's a year older. I think the Reds are the class of the division. Players in their prime. A team sort of coming out of a mini retool. So I like the Reds the most, and it's, you know, the other three teams next, and then the Pirates. You know, you can pick 2, 3, and 4. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to go. But certainly the Cubs have as much talent as anybody, including the Reds. But I think the Reds are a little bit deeper right now.
We know David Ross talked about how his camp was going to be different than Joe's, and we're years removed from the petting zoo and the panel van and Tim Buss coming up with something goofy every other day. What's the vibe there? You know, Jonathan and I were talking about this, and you know, it seems like Baez wanted to be coached up and managed more directly. So it may, I don't know if any other younger players felt the same, but how is it different? Is it something that you notice?
It's certainly not palpable. I mean, you walk in here, you wouldn't exactly know. I mean, today, ironically, you bring this up. Maybe you saw my pick on Twitter. They pulled out a five basket Papa shot,
yes.
You know, like five baskets in a row, and guys were shooting. And actually, Yu Darvish, not surprisingly, because he seemingly can do everything, Yu Darvish had a pretty good shot. So that was the first Joe Maddon-esque thing that I've seen. But look, I think all camps do a little bit of this kind of stuff. Joe Maddon does a little bit more, or did a little bit more. Remember, after 16, there's a lot less of that goofy stuff. There were no zoo animals here like 17, 18, 19. It was a lot less after they won the World Series. But honestly, guys are doing their drills. Okay, they've had umpires for live BP. I'm not seeing, like, you know, Ross making them do laps or anything, or sprint, wind sprints. You know what I mean? Like, people, I think, expect a big, big difference. You can't tell much. You can't tell much. Could they tweak a drill here and there? Yes. Has it been noticeable? A little bit of some bunt drills. Like I said, umpires for the live BP. But overall, I think it's going to take months, if not a year or two, to really see the big difference. That's my opinion. Maybe another reporter would tell you something different. But I think if you're looking for something different, yeah, you could find it. But is it game-changing? I don't think so. I don't think so.
You got your ear to the ground with the White Sox hearing anything?
Hey.
No, not really. I mean,
I
talked to Rakan at Media Day the other day, and, you know, I asked him what's interesting about camp. And he sort of gave me the cliche answer, but it is so true. And it was like this for the Cubs, you know, going into 15 in a certain way, but even more so with the White Sox. And just this idea that, okay, we may not win it all this year, but this is the beginning of something. And we will look back at 20 and either say, wow, we made the playoffs, or, okay, we're right on the cusp of it. So it's like they really believe this year is going to, you know, things are going to blossom. And it doesn't matter what the end result is. It could be the World Series. It could be a first-round exit. But we will know it when we see it. You know, this team that just comes together and starts to maybe dominate at some point late in the season. Again, they might come up short. They may not. But they really believe this is the beginning of some long run. And it was similar to the Cubs in 15. I mean, really, the paths and the Blackhawks right before them, the paths of these teams have been very similar. Blackhawks rebuild, Cubs rebuild, White Sox rebuild. And this idea that it doesn't all have to happen in one year. And that is the beauty of, you know, hoping for sustained success instead of just buying it for one year. So, you know, you can put your expectations where you want. They just want to see the thing blossom, and then the results will be the results.
Dallas Keuchel as a Houston Astro, former Houston Astro, now with the White Sox. That should be an interesting storyline as well.
Yeah, I mean, if the Sox were contenders during those years with the Astros, you know, the last few years, I think it'd be a bigger storyline if the Astros had beat them out in a playoff series. But they were two different worlds. You know, the Astros were this elite contender, and the Sox are rebuilding. So I agree it's a storyline, but I don't think it's – first of all, and he's a pitcher, not a hitter, you know, it helped his team. It didn't help him necessarily. You know what I mean? I think if the Sox added one of these hitters, let's say Bregman was traded in the offseason and all this came out, that's a big deal. I think it's a little less of a deal when it's a pitcher, and it's a pitcher that, you know, if the Astros beat up on the Sox, they would have done it with the signs or without the signs, right?
I want Renteria to tell Keuchel to drill Altuve and see how he responds.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That'd be great.
And look, Keuchel's handled it well. I got to know him last year when he was with the Braves in the playoffs. The guys, he handled it probably as well as anybody, especially immediately as spring training began. So I think he can. He's the type of guy that can handle whatever is going to come his way. That's the feeling I got from him.
Well, Jesse, as always, we appreciate it. And don't forget, Jesse has a brand new book out, Madden and Me, coming out in 2021, the Chili Davis years. So I look forward to that coming out in 2021. Thank you so much.
You're unbelievable.
It's hey, coming out, isn't it?
He's got me right now, pulling me. So
the next chapter is coming Monday when the Cubs host the Angels. exclusively on ESPN TV, mm-hmm. and yours truly will be the sideline reporter. So,
all right,
we're working on a few Madden-centric things for me to do. Maybe ride over on the bus with him from Tempe or something like that. So,
sit down at the Madden post and have a meal with him.
That'd be a quick meal.
Well, easy to quick get a and table. Cheap. Yeah,
exactly.
Madden and Me, right, the guys. Book coming out in 2021.
Yeah,
Jesse, as always, we appreciate it. Thank
You're the
you
best,
so much.
Jess.
See you, man.
So there is Jesse Rogers on the Corona Hotline as we talk to him, the author and columnist for the ESPN. All right, coming up, there is an angle with Dallas Keuchel and the Astros. A veteran newsman has a commentary on that, and that is next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. And the brand new ESPN Chicago app with Brian Hanley, Jonathan Hood with you. Carmen and Yurko come your way at 12 o'clock. Waddle and Sylvia, too. And then we have Illini basketball as they take on Northwestern. And that'll be at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Shout out to the Illini, by the way.
ILL.
I
there
can
you
do
go.
That. Usually,
right.
The joke is LOSE at the end of that.
ILL, yes, I am.
Yes, so Underwood turning it around pretty quickly there. And you got a full State Farm Arena. People are into it.
Surprised me. I mean, I really. Quickly. I'd written them off this, before the season, but God bless them.
Yeah, that's good. So I always tell the college coaches, whether it's McLean at UIC or Dave Leto, Jay, whether it's Dave Leto or whoever, like, give me the extra storyline. Give me the extra storyline to give me the spring training. I want the college basketball, if you're good, we'll definitely talk about you.
This town really needs it, right? And I don't know what happened up in Northwestern with Chris Collins. And, okay, you're not playing in Rosemont anymore. That was an excuse for a year. Time to get that thing turned around.
Yeah, pretty tough.
Oof.
And pretty
Dave,
tough.
Dave, what happened to the first half of the season?
Jay. Sammy Mejia, let me tell you.
Yeah. Wow.
Jay.
Man, you're talking about the bottom falling out.
Tough. Well, you know what happened? Big East schedule. That happened.
Believe me. Marquette got ranked, and then they lost their next three games.
Jeez. Well, we turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman, who has a special commentary. He took off his jacket. All we see is suspenders and a nice shirt. And there he is there with his commentary. Dallas Keuchel, a former Houston. What are you doing there? What's with the noise?
Professional
I'm
broadcaster
adjusting,
here.
Adjusting my microphone.
Turn it off. What are you doing?
Turn it off.
Once I hear my music, I'm up and ready.
Lord.
The music played.
Why don't you just cough into the thing, too?
Guys, the music played. It would be unprofessional not to be ready.
Thank you very much.
Hold on. Let me get... Gentlemen, it's not really a commentary.
Hold on a
as
second.
In,
would you wait a minute?
Whoa! Let him set it up.
I heard the music.
Just wait a minute. For goodness sakes, have you ever done this before?
We'll do it live. I blame Chris. Premature music.
Hate that.
We turned out. No one has a pill for that.
Yeah.
We turned now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with a special commentary. Dallas Keuchel, a former Houston Astro, now with the Chicago White Sox. What is the impact? We turn to Dan Zetterman with more. Dan?
Jonathan, thank you very much. It's not really a commentary a la Walter Jacobson circa 1990.
Stop. Again, this is something that the people need to hear. Don't you understand? This is, I set it up professionally. Right. Award winning.
It's not really a commentary.
You can't do that. Don't do it that way. Just wait a minute.
It's more of a random thought.
Question for Jonathan Hood
It
is.
Would you please shut his mic off? Again, we'll do it again. I'm sorry, Chris.
Three, two, one.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with a special commentary. Dallas Keuchel, former Houston Astro, now with the White Sox. What is the impact with him being an Astro, a former Astro, now with the White Sox? We turn to Dan Zetterman with more. Dan?
Jonathan, thank you. This is a very well thought out commentary on my behalf.
There you go.
As a Cub fan, It is hard for me. I'm not a White Sox hater. I am a Cub fan.
Okay,
I'm
Cap.
Not one of those guys that hate the White Sox.
I thought Cap was on vacation.
A lot of qualifying going on here.
No, I'm just there are the Cub fans that hate the Sox, and there are Sox fans that hate the Cubs, and then there are people that just root for their team.
Thank you for 1992 radio.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm one of those people that just root for my team.
I want any Chicago team to win. I don't care.
And no, I'm not that guy.
Okay.
But I will say that as a Cub fan, this White Sox team has been easy to root for. The arrow's been pointing up. There's like a sense of optimism in the city for this Sox team. And for my friends like Jonathan Hood and Chris Black, who are Sox fans, I'm happy that finally a team has come together for you. That being said, Dallas Keuchel is a member of your team. Yes. He's a known cheater. On top of that, on his first day of camp with the White Sox, he had a chance to apologize, kind of make amends, kind of warm up the Chicago fans for his arrival here, and he didn't really do a great job of that.
Swing and a miss.
So as a Cub fan, I'm actually happy that he's a member of the White Sox because it gives me something to dislike about your team. My question for you was, as a Sox fan, are you upset that he's a member of your team coming from the cheating Astros? And are you upset with the way he's handled himself in regard to the cheating scandal?
Well, where's the wrap-up there, Walter? You got something else?
After you answer the question, I'll tie it together, and then I'll go live with the homeless for a week.
Wow. Like Walter. Yes. So... Well,
you heard Jonathan's new book, Keuchel and Me?
Keuchel and Me, the White Sox story. Championship coming in 23. Renteria won't be a part of it, but nonetheless, Sox won't be good until he's gone. Transitional manager, that's what we call it in this country.
Yeah, well.
Transitional manager. And that will be his. That will be on his epitaph, by the way. Transitional manager for the Cubs and the White
TM.
Sox. Yeah, that's what he's going to be. I am happy that Dallas Keuchel is here. The reason why is because, yes, he was a known cheater with the Houston Astros, along with those Astros teams. But here's the thing, is that when you're the White Sox, you needed someone to jumpstart this rebuild or try to jumpstart a new White Sox team here for 2020. I have no problem with it. Keep in mind, the White Sox, as a team, their marketing is about being the bad guys. It's about, I mean, I saw the latest marketing rollout, and they were just...
Those guys were black?
They were sent... No, even worse than that. It was like the whole thing of, you know, looking at the headlines and people not believing in us and all that. They are leaning into
big
the negative headlines.
Chip on their shoulder?
Always.
Yeah.
As long as Kenny Williams has been there. It's always been that chip on the shoulder. Look, what about us? All that kind of thing. So, once
Kids
again...
Play.
Well, that's a dark time. not the wrong.
Well, they got the kids who look like they can play this time.
That's true, for once,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So I don't have a personal problem with it, knowing that he's a former Astro and was part of that because...
Well, he signed before it all came out, too, right?
Yeah. Well, he was an Atlanta Brave in 2019, but yes, he was part of that. 17, 18, he was part of that.
But, I mean, before we all knew how ugly it was and how prevalent it was... The Sox signed him not, I mean, maybe they had a hint of what was going to come down, but, you know, here he is.
I have no problem with it at all, Dan. No problem with it at all.
So in summation, White Sox fans are turning a blind eye to Dallas Keuchel and the cheating ways of the Astros, which makes members of that fan base no better than the Houston Astros.
Wow.
And that's his commentary.
That's how he finishes?
He connected
you gotta put
it
a
out.
Bow on it. You gotta No, listen, the fact of the matter is, if he was on another team, you'd probably have a problem. I get it. He plays for the White Sox. There's high hopes for your team. So of course you're gonna be like, I'm okay with it. But let's be honest.
Well, let's turn around. If the Cubs had signed him, how would you feel?
Who, me? I would not be happy with it.
We're talking to you. What do you mean, who,
I
me?
I thought you were asking John. I thought you were asking who.
No, I'm asking you. Why are you asking me?
If he helped the Cubs, if he won 18 games with wearing a Cubs uniform, would you be okay with that?
Listen, I'd love the. It's just like Aroldis Chapman.
No,
I was
not
happy he was a member of the Cubs.
No.
He's
just a bad
guy. Let me finish the talk. I mean, now you guys just want to jump on me here. Aroldis Chapman helped the Cubs win.
Dad?
Aroldis Chapman helped the Cubs win a World Series, and for that, he was a great member of the team. Unfortunately, no Cub fan wanted him on that team. So if Dallas Keuchel came to the Cubs and he won 18 games, that would be great for my Cubs, but I'm not necessarily sure I would embrace him being part of the team.
The Chapman thing lasted a day.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. Yes, it
no,
did.
It didn't. Okay. It did not.
That was not a constant conversation on the station.
No, but that doesn't mean it lasted a day.
What it turned into boy, Joe does he not like Chapman? He's used him too much.
That's what I'm saying. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, start using him for like a three-out closer, three-inning closer.
Yeah.
But now you answer the question. If Keuchel signed with the Cubs as a Sox fan, what would your take be?
I would have no problem with it because I'm an adult with a mortgage. It doesn't matter. It does not matter to me because you know what the ultimate thing is. It's about the W, and you'll have any ne'er-do-well, any bad guy, any good guy on your team to try to win. And by the way, the majority of the fans don't really care anyway because usually that's social media, people mad on social media, but that does not affect the turnstiles. There won't be people picketing outside of 35th and Vex saying, we don't want a cheater on our team. We don't want a cheater on our team, even though it's a bad chant. But you understand the point.
They had a nice ring to it.
We don't want a cheater on our team. And no one's going to have the T-shirts out saying we don't want Keuchel on the team. So ultimately, when it's about winning, nobody really cares. Ultimately. Look, the Chapman thing lasted one day. It was one day. The hand-wringing, oh, I'm not so sure if we want a guy. And all of a sudden, he starts throwing 105 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, that blows away.
Hey, Joe, save him for game 7. That's why are you bringing him in now?
That's all it was. That's all you cared about.
I was there for his first game at Wrigley Field. And when he threw 101 miles an hour, he got a standing ovation. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. Bad guy.
A week ago, we were bashing it.
Yeah, see?
And that was his off-speed stuff.
It'll be interesting to see how many Sox fans get Dallas Keuchel jerseys. With all the good names on that team and all the guys you could support.
A ton.
Yeah,
a ton.
And let's see how many Keuchel jerseys there are.
Look, there's plenty of Sox caps around, not only in the city, but across the country. I mean, I see them all the time, you know, on cops.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant.
Yeah. There you go.
I see them all the time. Everyone thinks the Sox cap is cool. KD is a Sox fan. Yeah.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Some Cap and Company, your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Cap and Company, right here on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app with Brian Hanley, Jonathan Hood, and for Cap today and tomorrow, Carmen Yurko come your way at 12 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. As we mentioned, we have an opportunity for you to qualify to go to London to see the Cubs. What more, we go to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman. Dan?
Was that a sigh before you threw it to the newsman, Johnny?
I wasn't sure if you were ready because, you know, again, the mic moves and all the sounds. I don't know. I mean,
it moved, Jerry.
Well, we've got a great prize. Earlier today at 9:35, I asked Jonathan and Brian a question in regards to something to do with England. If you were listening then and you know the answer now, you have a chance to qualify to go to jolly old England with the Chicago Cubs in June. Thanks to our friends at Big Game Travel. You'll get nonstop flight, five-star hotel, tours of the city, a pep rally, tickets to the game. You'll get swag. You can't beat this prize. If it sounds too good to be true and you didn't win or don't qualify, you can always go to biggametravel.com, purchase the trip for yourself, and you'll be with our winner. You'll be with a huge group of people. Also, just for qualifying, you get a pair of tickets to see the Cubs at Wrigley Field later this year. And thanks to our friends at Budweiser.
The Cubs against the Cardinals.
Correct. You are correct.
The Cardinals.
At 9:35, I asked the boys, who was the Beatles' original drummer? Now, the correct answer is Pete Best, but that is not the answer the gentleman gave us. What answer did they give us? 312-332-3776. The 17th caller for Chris Bryant will get the first crack at it.
All right. Number 17, and we're waiting for that call to come out, and then we'll celebrate that winner momentarily right here on Cap and Company. Read Adam Johns today in the athletic.com.
Adam L.
Adam Johns does a great job defining,
yes, love Adam,
defining competition for Mitch Trubisky and ranking five options for the Bears. You see, the writing and the sports radio always works together. Mm-hmm. See, we brought this topic up. We were the first ones. See, we brought this whole quarterback up. No one else talked about it except us. And so we were able to break that news.
Our buddy Joe Cowley slapped me down today via his column about Cody White starting.
Oh.
Jim Boylan's actually correct on this one.
Oh.
Yeah. He said you can blame him for a lot of things, but not this one. And he laid out his case. So, God bless Joe. I still disagree.
We agree to disagree, sir.
Yeah, I love Joe, but yeah. But he went to bat for Jim Boylan on that.
Defining, well, he was due. he needed an ally, at least for once, right?
Yeah.
Defining competition for Mitch Trubisky and ranking five options. And so we go through the list, and we talked about Teddy Bridgewater early. We didn't mention these other two, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles is on this list. An inventive trade would be needed to acquire Foles from the Jaguars, but the Bears can afford him after releasing Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel.
Nick Foles.
Yeah. Not so sure.
Is that an upgrade?
No. You know what? Mitch is better.
Okay.
How about that?
I was going to please put him even.
I'll give a photo finish, and I'll give it to Mitch.
Right. And Nick's not coming as a backup. Nick's not going to do that. And I'm sure believe because of what he's done in emergency situations, he's feeling like he should get a start somewhere in the league, right?
Because Joe Burrow and his tiny hands is going to go to Cincinnati.
No, he's retiring. Didn't you hear him?
He did say that. He's going to retire. Yeah. Yes. Because of his tiny hand, which is so ridiculous, by the way. There's actual shows that are spending 2 and 3 segments on that,
right,
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Dalton. The Bengals will try to trade Dalton, but he should be released after Burrow is drafted. I would give Dalton a chance, and here's why. Because sometimes you just need a new atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get the stench of Cincinnati off of you.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Well, a couple of good showers.
I didn't even like going there when I was covering stuff. It's like, do you need chili five ways? I don't.
Black and I were there with Abdallah. We were in suburban Cincinnati.
Suburban. We stayed downtown. And it's like set your watch back 50 years.
Where were we, Chris? We were across the border into Kentucky. Highland Heights, didn't we?
What were you doing there?
No. We stayed downtown in Cincinnati. But we went across the river.
Because that's where the nightlife and all my
Covington,
bars were.
Yeah, Covington, right. Kentucky, there was a night spot that mm-hmm. was serving a warm Miller High Life to us that you had to purchase, even if you didn't want to drink, mm-hmm. to be in said establishment. You had to have a warm Miller High Life in your hand.
And they were $20 each.
Yeah, I think the cover and the High Life were, it was like 15 to mm-hmm. 20 bucks.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. To be in the establishment, you had to have it.
And there was a lot of scars, and not on my body for once.
I saw a bathing suit, too, which was really odd. Wow. Like, I've never seen that one. Like, wearing the full body suit bathing suit.
Wow.
Never seen that before.
Make it rain,
I don't think so. Establishment, yes. Yeah.
Make it rain with pennies.
Scars.
I remember that very well. It was coming to Kentucky. I recall that very well.
Yeah.
A dimly lit sticky floor.
It was like 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And they were going to be open another 4 hours.
That
was not great.
Yeah.
So Foles and Dalton, Mariota's on this list, and we mentioned Case Keenum, a guy who had 38 starts over the past 3 seasons.
I need a new list.
Yeah, I mean, so you don't like Mariota at all?
Of that list, I'd go down that road. Andy Dalton, is he going to be the type of guy that can play nice with the Matt Nagy offense? And you know, it's one thing getting the stink off Cincinnati stink off him,
yeah.
But does he want to come in here and learn a new system and do all that, or is he just wanting to be left alone? Not that I think he's Tom Brady in his prime. But I don't think he's a real good fit here.
You've got to be able to do something. And I understand we're not 20 years ago when you had 2 quality quarterbacks for each depth chart. It's not those days.
Mm-hmm.
We had 3 quarterbacks that were active at one point. Bears knocked out 2, I think, with the Lions. It was down to their punter. I think that happened back in the day. But you got to have someone, I believe, just in case, better than just a practice squad guy. I think that's only fair. You got to do more than just a practice squad guy behind Trubisky.
Yeah, because the second quarterback's going to play, and he might play a substantial part of the season when it's all said and done. You can't have a guy I don't think Andy Dalton's coming here to back up Mitch Trubisky either, right?
No, you would want to be a starter too, but you know what? Battle him. Just come in here and say, you know what? I'm going to be the starter. Any of these guys. Bridgewater, which is a pipe dream, would never happen.
Right.
Brady's a pipe dream. If it came down to Dalton and Mariota, don't you think they could outplay Trubisky in the practice? And
you mentioned Philip Rivers. You're okay with Philip Rivers and Hall of Famer Philip Rivers.
You don't believe that Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Well, I mean,
he is.
In my world, you actually have to win stuff. And you pulled up the stats, and yeah, in the statistical Hall of Fame, he's there, right? His numbers match up with some of the greats.
All right, how about I'll give you another one. Is Calvin Johnson a Hall of Famer? then he answers no.
If you have to think about it, right? Yeah,
Megatron.
No, because he kind of changed the position, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, there's some there that's borderline.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that the NFL Hall of Fame is like the Basketball Hall of Fame where it's a public toilet. Everybody gets in.
Right, everybody gets in.
It's not quite that. But there are some guys that are on the threshold that will be able to get in at some point. And I tell you what, the NFL Hall of Fame, they always get it right. For the most, when you take a look at the guys that are trying to get in, there's some that are kind of bitter, like Drew Pearson feels like he should be in. He'll get in at some point.
Right.
He just wants to be now.
Philip Rivers, though, as you said, with a good defense, do you look at it differently? Because I just remember all the second half of the season collapses with Philip Rivers. I remember marching the team down the field, and all of a sudden the game's right there in the balance, and here comes the interception you could always count on. But yet, you know, the throwing numbers and everything else, unbelievable. But it's just, you know, 5-6 in playoffs.
I know.
That, to me, is like, okay, Hall of Famer?
We go to John and Moni on ESPN 1000. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
We're very well, thank you. Can you tell us the answer to our question?
That would be Sheila E.
Sheila E.
That's
there you go.
Correct.
Good job, John.
The original drummer with the Beatles, at least.
I don't think that would have been allowed back then. some parameters there back then. So John, tell us, what's the station that just hooked you up to be a qualifier?
ESPN 1000.
All right, there you go. We'll put you on hold. Congratulations, John. John Ramone is a winner. He's
going
a winner.
To a Cubs game up at Wrigley thanks to Budweiser and qualified for the great trip to London. See the Chicago Cubs play over there in June thanks to Big Game Travel. And you can go to biggametravel.com to book your own trip and join all the fun in London.
I always hold my breath when I ask what station you're listening to. I'm always a little wary, a little concerned.
The one I'm calling.
I'm always a little concerned. I've always got my breath. I go, please say ESPN 1000.
Please.
Yesterday was WMVP. I'm like, well,
we'll go with
roll
that.
Out. We'll roll out.
Yeah.
We'll roll it.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko come your way at 12 o'clock, Waddle and Sylvia 2. Then we have the Fighting Illini against Northwestern at 7 o'clock, all part of the mix right here on our broadcast day here on ESPN 1000 with Brian Hanley, Jonathan Hood with you. As we sit in for David Kaplan on Cap and Company here on ESPN 1000, one of the big complaints about the NBA over the years is that there has, Brian, been like too many dynasties or not enough parity in the NBA. And my thought is, well, if you watch the history of the NBA, it's always been based on dynasties. Celtics dynasty here, Lakers there, Bulls there, Houston there, Detroit. It's always been Golden State as of late. It's always been about dynasties. But now the NBA is wide open. There's at least, I see, four teams that could win the championship. I was watching Boston, Utah last night and just seeing Boston just kind of get past Utah. I just think that when you have LeBron, who I could say maybe that he's at the end, meaning that he's probably waiting for his son to play so he can play his son and get probably run over by his son, Bronny. I could see LeBron passing the torch to Giannis, and now Milwaukee, who's the top team in the East, has Giannis Antetokounmpo. That helps the league because it's something new and fresh.
Well, here's my problem with the NBA. Dynasties are going to be on the West Coast, though, right? Now, to me, it's much more geographic. Like any superstar, the first place he looks, whether it's Golden State being beat up or injured, that's one thing. But now it's, let's go play in the Staples Center, either for the Clippers or the Lakers, right? How many people are saying, I want to go to Boston? You know, they have to draft well. Kyrie Irving didn't even want to stick around in Boston, right?
Right.
I mean, so he got traded there, and all of a sudden, to me, it's just like when you talked about the Greek Freak. When he's available, is he going to be looking west? Or maybe Toronto has appealed to him because he's more of an international guy and has more of an international feel in terms of a city. It's, you know, a great city to want to play in if you're that guy. But to me, it's like every free agent who's worth anything now is immediately thinking, can I play in California? Can I play somewhere out west? No one's saying I want to go to Philly. No, certainly no one's saying I want to come to the Bulls.
Right.
For a lot of different reasons. But geographically now, it just seems to me there's only one destination. It's go west, young man.
It's either that west and Western Conference, right? Because
yeah,
that's where the stars
absolutely
are.
Right, yeah.
So I think that in an NBA, in a perfect NBA world, a free agent wants to play in California if they can or try to save their money by playing in Texas or Florida. There was a no state tax.
No income tax.
Yeah, so you don't have to. They have to worry about that. I think that, and this is where we go back to a much larger topic about the AAU culture, right? Talented players play with talented players, and we can shoot holes in the AAU all day if we wanted to and talk about, hey, you know, you don't learn teamwork. You learn how to showcase yourself in AAU, right, and for some. But Giannis is, I would say Giannis on the surface is different because of he's not from this country.
Right.
And he's said just recently, he goes, I don't understand working out with my competition. You know, a lot of these guys work out with each other.
Right.
They don't even come to the facility.
They share the same agent or management group, and they have their own little place to go to out in L.A. usually, somewhere warm or nice. The weather's nice. And they go out there and they hang out, and they put in their 3 or 4 hours a day, whatever, to work out. But you're right. They normally, it's usually there's a connection via they played together one point, they're real good friends, or they share the same agent.
I do, but it seems like Giannis, and I'm not going to make this proclamation that he's going to stay in Milwaukee forever. I mean, even Kareem had to leave at some point in Milwaukee after winning a championship. But he seems different that he doesn't want to work out with his competition, and he's made that very clear. So if you're Milwaukee, you want to hold on to him because – I think that if an athlete sees a Milwaukee or a Toronto and they're winning, despite the weather, they'll come if it increases their chances to win. That's what I think. I think, yeah, would they love to play for the Rockets? Yeah, but then you're not getting any shots. You got Russell Westbrook and James Harden. All right. So where's your shine there? You could play for the Lakers or the Clippers, but you know with the Lakers, that's run by LeBron. No matter what, it's LeBron with a bullet, and that's it. With the Clippers, you know, Kawhi and PG with Paul George, it's a good team, but it's what have you done for me lately? It's not these guys that's going to be sticking with one organization for a long time, Reggie Miller, and say, oh, no, eventually, right. You know, Donnie Walsh will get it right. We'll get it. You don't want to stay in one spot trusting a GM to get it done when you can go someplace and get yourself a championship, because these guys, they are concerned about money. That's always number one, right? But legacy for a lot of these young players is some important as well.
But the Thunder had some pretty good going there for a long time, but how many players want to stay in Oklahoma City, right?
Well, and, they didn't like Sonic.
And the one thing about that city, it's the only game in town. And it's, I remember covering an NCAA regional down there. And you talk about fanaticism for teams coming in from every part of the country. I mean, they treated that team like they had the passion of a college town, right? That was their team.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player, and like how long, you know, you put in your time there until you can get out, and then everyone got out, right? So I just you know, right now, to me, all the destinations, it's okay. It's L.A., it's Houston, maybe. Once the injuries, you know, injury bug stops biting in Golden State, maybe that becomes attractive yet again with, you know, moving into San Francisco or anything else.
A little Dallas, maybe, if possible.
Yeah, because Mark Cuban's still a guy who probably can attract. And plus, as you point out, you're not paying income tax. So, but beyond that, boy, it's slim pickings. No one's saying I got to go play with the Knicks. Think about that. Madison Square Garden used to be the place to play, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't made it till you played in what they've been irrelevant for so long. It's more like a prison sentence if you get sent there, right?
Well, it's true because to a millennial, that's just another spot on the another destination as far as travel. Oh, Madison Square Garden, old building. All right, where's the next party?
Yeah.
Where's the next plane? Where's the next town? That's how they look at it. And so this is why the Bulls. I'm bringing this up because this circles back to the Bulls. Man, you don't want to just be another team in the NBA where people or free agents look at this city and say, well, a little cold. You're not winning. Yeah, there's no reason for me to go to Minnesota, Chicago, Indianapolis, or Detroit. It's too cold and you're not winning, so why should I play?
And the
for
old
you?
Saw that no one wants to play where Michael and the arena Michael built that is so long ago.
Right.
No one's worried about that shadow because, again, you haven't won a title since 1998. No one's afraid that you're never going to live up to MJ because this town is so hungry now for the Bulls to be relevant. If you were a superstar, you know, decided to come and sign here and put on a Bulls jersey, you would be celebrated like none other if they thought that was going to get you back to the promised land.
I just don't want that this part of town, this part of the country where it's like Chicago's just like Minneapolis.
It's flyover.
Too snowy,
yeah.
Too cold.
Yeah.
Now, let me get my way over here to either like a Portland or to California, Texas, Florida. Look at Miami. They turned around pretty quickly. And now Miami's right there with Jimmy in the mix in the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference because it's warm, party city,
party
and,
city.
And they're winning. right? Yeah. You know, so there you go. And by the way, speaking of party cities, you would think Atlanta would always be on the top. But you can clearly find out if you got a family.
If Covington ever gets a franchise.
Covington, Kentucky.
Watch out.
That's next to the league, I believe. That in Seattle.
When they expand, that's right at the top of the list.
So,
wow.
That's one thing.
Real Housewives of Covington.
Oh.
Wait till you see that show.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what. That trailer's going to be moving.
The trailers are rocking.
Don't come a knocking.
That's right.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.